This morning, I will speak to you about do not let your love grow cold. Do you love God? I want to have a survey. Do you think you love God? If you do, will you raise your hand? I see many hands raise up. I think you think you love God. Do you think I love God? I used to think I love God with a deep and abiding heart. But one day, about 50 years ago, I came across a song. It's called The Love of God. Have you heard this song before? The love of God is greater far than tongues or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest stars and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. When I learned of that song, I realized that my love for God is very dismal, very insignificant when compared to His great love for me. There's no comparison. I want to tell you a little bit about this song. It was written by Frederick Laiman. This song is about 100 years old. This song has been loved by the church, by many people. It's been translated into 18 different languages throughout the world. How the love of God touched many, many hearts. It is true, as I see described, no pen and tongue can describe. It's also true that none of us can earn His love by how good we are, how much work that we do. His love is so great that none of us can earn that love. You say, well, it must be hopeless for us. We can try, but to no avail. But I think we also remember the Lord's command in Mark 12:30. He says, you shall love your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This seems to suggest one thing, that in spite of the smallness, the imperfection of our love, God still wants us to love Him. He's not demanding perfection. He's demanding dedication. That's the way He wants us to do. Earlier, we read a passage from the book of Revelation. And I had the privilege last year to go visit that place called Ephesus. Ephesus was a great city. It was situated between Asia and Europe, and it's a great seaport. There's a big church there, established by Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey. And later on, even Apostle John, in his old age, was a leader of that church. And you saw the description earlier. The Lord described that church as being hardworking, persevering, do not tolerate evil, and also have very pure in the doctrine. And also they stood firm in the time of persecution. Now that is some church. I hope that our church deserved that name. But what happened? The Lord also had admonition for them. I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Can this be possible? Can a loving church like Ephesus decrease in their love? What do you think it happened? Is it because there were brotherly conflicts and they could not forgive one another and the love grew weak for the brothers? They no longer love one another. Or I think the greater reason is more deep down. The love for God has changed. The love for God that they have originally has now diminished. That is the warning against the Ephesian church. Do you think our church can fall into that category? Of course we can. If it can happen to that great church, it can happen to us. So this is a time for us to be aware of what's happening. God wants us to know. God wants us to come back. Come back to Him. And today I want to consider with you three things. God's love, and how that love for God is diminished. And then the thirdly, how we can return, how we can revive, how we can go back to God in that love, the three phases. How that love can be lost. Let's recall among us our own church. You know that we started as a young church 12 years ago. If I look at this congregation today, we have about 200. We used to have about 25. And most of them are young people, below seventh graders. So our church is very young. And many of you have come, like these three brothers here, come to the Lord, trusted Him, and follow Him. And you have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you walk, your heart was warmed by the love of God. As you experience God's love in your life, at first you were so anxious to know more about Him. You read and study His Word. You pray frequently. And you are growing stronger in faith. You even witness, and you even bring friends to come to the church. That's how we have the increase. You bring people to come. He says, come to our church. There you can find a secret about your life. You have invited people to come. You are growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're experiencing the power of God in your life every day. Personally, I know many of you, and I've witnessed your life, and praise the Lord, I've seen how you have grown to maturity. From a newfound faith, you're growing in the grace of the Lord. You begin to integrate that faith into your life, experiencing that, and live it out as a Christian. You have hunger and thirst for the Word of God. You come to Sunday schools, you come to Bible study fellowships, and you begin to grow. And this is greatly, really delightful to see. But let me turn the coin to the other side. I know there are some of you, originally you had the joy of the Lord, but with time, that joy has diminished. That love of God has changed. No, you still come to church. You still come to worship. You still come to fellowship groups and to be with your people of your same age. But there's something there that's different. Something there that as you come, it becomes a ritual, becomes a routine. It's no longer have that zeal inside of you. This is a danger sign. This is a time of great warning. This is a time that we need to return to God. When God wants us to return to Him, there's one key word that He used. And that word is remember. This morning in my Sunday school, we have Brother Brooks teach. And he came out with the word remember. I said, amen. That was what I'm going to say. Remember. Remember the covenant of the Lord in your life. What do we remember? What do we remember? The Lord has this in His mind, in His heart. You know that He's so concerned that you do not fall and backslide. He's so concerned that you continue your great love for Him. The Lord has many, many verses. Now, I had an easy task. There's a concordance in my library, this big, and I just flip to the word remembering, remember. And there are hundreds of references in the Bible. So I just checked through them. I found many wonderful verses. You know, Moses wrote 5 books. You know them, right? The first 5 books of the Bible. And in the last book of that is Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, he spoke to the people of his congregation. There are millions of them. But most of them are very young people, like you are here in this side of the room. Most of them are below 20 years old. So they need to be reminded to remember what the Lord has said. So let's look at these verses. Oh, this is an earlier Ephesus church where we visited. And it was in ruins, of course, now. The city was being discovered, and many of the buildings have been uncovered. Moses, I just took 3 verses from Deuteronomy. 5:15, he said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Deuteronomy 8:2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for these 40 years. And then Deuteronomy 16:3, remember all the days of your life that you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. Moses' great heart was asking us to remember what the Lord has done in them and through them. But there are many more. You be patient. I'm not going to ask you to memorize all these verses, but I want you to catch the big idea behind them. The psalmist said, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Psalm 77, I remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Psalm 105, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Remember these things, the psalmist said. Well, let's just look at 3 more verses from the New Testament. Ephesians 2:12, Paul says, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Remember those days, Paul said. And the writer of the Hebrews said, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. There were hard times. The writer of Hebrews reminded them that God has given us the light in those days. And in the book of Luke, and he took bread. Now you know this verse. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, and saying, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord himself asks us to remember him. Now all these verses, the key idea behind it, very obvious now, to remember God. Remember what he has done. Remember the things that once upon a time we were in sin and degradation. Once upon a time we were lost, but now salvation has come to us and we're saved. That's a glorious event in our life. And then after we become Christians, God keep on working in our lives, transforming us to be more like him. He uses every situation in life to mold us and make us so that we be more like him. That's a gracious work of God in our lives. Thirdly, he worked in our lives to help us grow in faith and in deed. And this doesn't come naturally. God is working in our lives to help us grow in our faith. And then, because of our faith, manifests in deeds. And then, in our lives, he helps us overcome temptation, the wiles of devil. We're bound to face them in our life. This is the gracious work that God is doing in our lives. God patiently reminds us that our love should not grow cold. Patiently wait for us until we are revived. We experience his mercy and love every day of our life. But you say, these verses are old verses. They are thousands of years old, and they apply in a different culture, different from our lives. Should I remember those things? They don't seem to relate to me. They don't seem to have the same impact as it is to the days of the people of Israel. But you know the Word of God. The Bible is a living word, isn't it? The Bible is not a dead book written years ago. The Bible is a living word of God that is applicable today, just as it was thousands of years ago. Let me explain to you why is this such a living word. Let's take some Bible verses to see how it relates to our lives. Just a few verses here. This one in Exodus. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and on the left. This is a verse there. Now, old times for sure. Crossing the Red Sea, right? Now, how does this apply to you and me? I don't know about you. In my lifetime, as I was driving, there have been many occasions. One time I fell asleep on the road, and I was almost, my car almost went off and hit something. But God woke me up just in time. I swerved quickly. One time, I was actually asleep for a few seconds, and my car turned over. And I came through, my glasses fell off. I don't have any broken bones. God has protected me. You can see that God will deliver you from injury and death that happened to me. Whatever happened to you, I don't know. I'm sure there are events in your life that God deliver you from danger. Take a look at this verse, also from Exodus. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go and gather enough for that day. Those of you who went to Sunday school, you know well the story of the manna from heaven. God gave them bread from heaven so that they would not starve from day to day. And how does it apply to me today? How does it apply to you and me today? Think about it. We have several, in the last 10, 15 years, we have several occasions of economic crisis, downturn of economy. I remember one day that in our bulletin, there was a big list of people without jobs. And we were just, at the time, was about to build this new building. And we were concerned that we would not have the funds to continue the building. Long list of people, we pray for them. If you look at your bulletin today, you see that the year-to-date balance, we still have $1,000 extra. God has provided. We're never in need. We're never short. God provided for you, for your school. God provided for your beautiful home. God provided you a job. God provided you good health. God provided you with intelligence to work and ability to work. All of these are God's gift. God provides us daily for what we need and not what we want. This is a second application of God's living word. The third living application, Jesus for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. You know the story, the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Do you ever experience temptation? Young people, be honest. Older people, be honest. Do you experience temptation in your life? I do. So what happened when we face temptation? Give in. All right, I surrender. No, God continue to help us. God works in our lives. The Holy Spirit enables us, giving us strength to resist. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ resisted the devil. Get away from me, he said. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So this application, this word also applied to our daily life. The third one. I have a few more. Christ was filled with holy wrath at the entrance of the temple. Remember that story now. At the entrance of the temple, there were many merchants, coins, exchangers, animals, big, noisy group, and they were bargaining, buying and selling. The Lord looked at, this is the temple of God. This is a house of prayer. The Lord was so angry, he chased them out, turned over the tables. Well, when people sin, we still experience God's anger, do we? When you and I sin, God will chastise us. God will admonish us. God will correct us. even if it hurts. His love is the tough love that he will put in our lives. God will chastise us. And then Jesus taught his disciples how to pray during the Sermon on the Mount. And every other week, we read the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. The Lord teaches his disciples how to pray. Now, today, do you and I know how to pray? Do we know prayer the Lord desires for us to pray? We don't know. The Bible tells us we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit works in our hearts with a still small voice and teaches us how to pray. When we wait upon the Lord, even though we are not eloquent, even though we do know the Bible so well, the Lord works in our hearts as we turn to him, and he shows us how best to pray. So as the Lord taught the disciples how to pray, he continued to teach us how to pray. This verse you remember also. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. This is what we experience each day. If we walk in the Lord, if we walk with him, if we follow his, obey him, then we experience his peace, his joy in our hearts. This is what he given to us. Not just, this is the Lord's last few words on earth to his followers. He leaves his peace with them. But today, he still gives us, he still gives you and I the same peace that this world cannot give. Try another one. Now, Peter denied Jesus three times. That is another familiar story. Now, how does this story apply to us today? How does it apply to you and me? As we walk in the Lord, as we go away from the Lord, as we sin, what happened? We come back to the Lord, and he offers forgiveness. He forgave us of our sin. Forgiveness is what the Lord offered Peter. And the same thing today, he offered to you and me, his forgiveness. Now, this is very precious verse. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus taught his disciples the meaning of God's word. You remember when Jesus opened the word of God to the disciples? The disciples' eyes were opened. He said, I never realized the meaning of this passage. So today, as you and I study the Bible in our quiet time, the Word of God will come to light. The Word of God will become so meaningful, so precious to us. So these are the things that still apply the day thousands of years ago as it is today. So how do we recover from that lost love? How do we avoid the Lord saying to us, you have lost your first love? How do we do that? We remember. Remember him. Remember all the things that he has done. Now, in the bulletin, there's an insert. And the insert, there are 8 points to remember. You can use the same one I have, but you can also use something that of your own. Fill in the blank what you have to remember, what you want to remember. And if you remember God's love for you, remember that he delivers us from harm, he provides all our needs, he empowers us to overcome temptation. As we sin, we can feel his chastisement. We can experience his forgiveness. And Holy Spirit continue to teach us how to pray, how to study the Bible, and experience a peace and joy in our lives. Would you like this to happen to you? Would you like to have the days of your life after you have been Christian for 50 or 60 years, when your hair is all gray or fallen off, and you can look back and say, "My, I have followed the Lord. My love for Him has not diminished." Wouldn't that be the great day? Wouldn't you like that to happen? The secret is, remember. 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 Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank and praise You because of Your patience and Your love for us. Never diminish. And even though as we fall short, and You still love us, You still want us to come back to You, be revived, and to love You as we first loved You. Thank You for Your greatness, for Your mighty power. And we ask that You help us to follow You all the days of our life, as these three young brothers did, so that our love for You will never, never diminish. Thank You. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.